9 minutes after 8, let's go straight to the Union Buildings where EWN political reporter Teto Mahlakwana is there, also waiting with other reporters for that all-important announcement. Teto, good evening. Welcome to the Karima Brown Show. What's happening there now?
Good evening, Clement. Of course, there's been the long wait of waiting just to know the time at which the president will be making this critical announcement, and of course, eventually being told that it will be 8 o'clock. And about 20 minutes ago, we got a message from the presidency saying that, of course, there has been that delay, and that is because the president had opted to meet with the appointees individually. Of course, that is a commendable act in its own, Clement, because we know that from his predecessor's time, former President Jacob Zuma, some ministers would only find out through the media that they had not made it back into cabinet and the likes. So that is commendable given the tone with which he has approached this very important step, which was, of course, premeditated by the meetings he had throughout the day with the alliance partners, COSATU and the SACP, and other ANC structures. So we do now wait for, of course, that announcement to be made at any moment, but, of course, with that consideration that the delay has already been announced.
Yeah, let's speak about, and I know that you arrived there late in the afternoon. Have the reporters that were there earlier been able to spot some of the people that could be incoming ministers? Because I know that every time there's announcements around cabinet reshuffles, you'll see some ministers arriving either at the presidential guest house or at the Union Buildings to be consulted sometimes personally by the president. Have the journalists there spotted anyone?
Well, Clement, of course, you know that the situation is quite different when you're at the Union Buildings. There's many entrances, wings to this illustrious building.
Yeah.
So we've been locked in the media center from when we arrived, and that's where, of course, the president will be taken to the podium, making that announcement to the nation. But we have not spotted anyone, of course, because the distance between us and even just the normal working office of the president is quite a lot, and there's just no way of spotting a car coming in or anyone coming in. But of course, there's been a lot of anticipation and a lot of just suggestion and a lot of comparisons drawn between the Zuma presidency and this incoming president administration, basically suggesting that, you know, back in the day, we'd already know, we'd already have less, and everyone would be in the know about what is coming
and that's an observation that we've also made in the newsroom earlier, that look, by now most of the journalists would have an idea on who is coming in and who is not going to make the cut. And we were wondering if this somehow says something about the stature of the president and about how people respect him. Because even when you speak to your sources, they will tell you, okay, let's wait for that announcement. This time around, they're not willing to, like previously, come out and say, okay, this is what I know.
That's true, Clement. And I think it's something that it speaks to either the presidency of the moment or the stature of the man himself, or the nature of relations in the ANC and the broader alliance. Because most of the time, issues would emanate because of disgruntled factions or disgruntled parties which felt that there were names that are left off the list that should not be there, or names on the list that should not be there. So there's of course, that to reflect on. But, of course, you know, at the same time, you would want the president to have the kind of confidence that this very act of the list not being leaked by any of his allies, any of the officials in the party or in government, to be a boost of confidence of sorts for him, that he's got a team that trusts him and trusts his decisions and wants to see them play out in the manner that he wants them to play out.
Okay, EWN political reporter Teto Mahlakwana, let me allow you to go back into that media room at the Union Buildings. Hopefully it's not going to be a long wait. Thank you so much for your time. Still on this, let's speak to business now. Sandi Lazungu is the president of the Black Business Council. Mr. Zungu, welcome to the Karima Brown Show. Good evening.
Good evening, Clement.
So anticipation, thank you for your time. Anticipation is building up. As business, what are your top priorities and expectations from the president?
Well, we will hope that in constituting his executive, the president will, you know, make sure that, especially in the economic cluster, is a group of individuals who have the skill, who have the competence, who have the track record of working with business, and who know the ways in which value gets created, especially the wealth of nations gets created. Mm. Because we as a country, we no longer have leg room to engage in what I would call social experiments at an economic level. We will expect people who value working as a collegiate in a single-minded way. The kind of lack of coherence that we witnessed over time, where communists on one hand and trade unionists on another hand, as well as nationalists, really just having almost like a pot shot attack on each other at the expense of the nation on the economy. We don't have luxury of such. So we're expecting people who are industrious and, most importantly, who will inspire confidence, especially to the investing community. As soon as their names are announced, people will say, oh, we can work with this one. This one, we think he's going to take the competence to the next level. Remember, Clement, you know, economy growing at less than 1%.
Yeah.
When it's got so much going for it. I mean, we've got infrastructure, we've got the human capital, we've got the financial resources. You know, we've got infrastructure to can operate at 3% to 5% growth level in the short term. And what we now need is stewardship at the economic cluster level,
yeah,
to marshal all the forces, to inspire business to dig deep into their cash balances, to invest in the industrial capacity of this country, to create jobs, to push the frontiers of poverty. Mm. We just hope that the president will play that card very smartly and very well.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, whatever stewardship is going to come into play here, they also have to have clear priorities. As the business sector, what are some of the key priorities do you think either the finance ministry or whatever ministry, because there are also suggestions that we could have the economic cluster being under one minister, you know, this super ministry. What are some of the key priorities do you think they need to take on? I mean, there's issues around policy uncertainty, especially when it comes to the South African Reserve Bank, when it comes to land expropriation without compensation. There's issues around the mining charter, which is being challenged in some quarters. What are some of those key things you think the new economic cluster needs to look at in order to drive economic growth in the country?
I think policy uncertainty is no longer an issue in South Africa. I don't think so. There will always be uncertainty from time to time, mm-hmm, which rears its ugly head. But what we now have is a challenge of implementation. There have been very encouraging announcements made in the last year or more, such as the stimulus package, which will inspire confidence and take us on a different trajectory and stymie the job losses and so on. But we haven't really seen anything resembling a stimulus package being rolled out after very impressive announcements. There's been talk of the spectrum being released, being auctioned, so that we can, you know, allow for more participation in the telecoms and broadcasting space. You know, we're waiting for that to happen. It's not happening. Now, if as an economy we want to be significant and respected players within the context of the fourth industrial revolution, without spectrum, we are dead in the water. And so it's not the policy. The policy is there. It's about implementation. What you now need are people who have the competence, who are confident, who will be not swayed by the lobbyists simply because they are confused themselves what should be happening. People who will be single-minded and say, we're now going for this, whether it suits you or it doesn't suit you, but it's in the best interest of the country that you move forward. So we need an implementation-focused executive. Yes, there's uncertainty around land, but it's not so much uncertainty as it is discomfort. There is certainty that this country want to go down the path of land expropriation without compensation. But the question is maybe which land? There are mixed signals coming from here that maybe it's a state land which is underutilized.
Yeah.
Maybe it's land belonging to foreigners who have abandoned it. We don't know. But it's at an implementation level where there's uncertainty. But when you're putting people who are not confident and people who are not clear about where the priorities are for the country, you will have this dilly-dallying, this indecision, and which manifests itself in low confidence in the business sector as well as consumer sector.
All right. Sandile Zungu, President of the Black Business Council, thank you so much for your time. I'm also taking your reaction. Hey, I know there's nothing to react to yet, but I want to know what your expectations are. Who do you think should be in? Who do you think should be out? Deputy President of the ANC, David Mabuza, was sworn in at the presidential guest house yesterday as a member of parliament, giving an indication that he will be returning to parliament as a deputy president. So I'm interested to hear your thoughts on whether, you know, who you think should actually not be included in President Cyril Ramaphosa's cabinet and what you think this reconfigured cabinet is going to look like. 011-883-0702. Also taking your SMSs on 31702, your WhatsApp voice notes on 072-702-1702. 21 minutes after 8. 702. WhatsApp us now on 072. Come out and said, you know, we've got this number of people that we think must not be included. Supra Mahoma Pelu, Faith Mutambi, Tina Yomed, Peterson, Mosebenzi Zwani, Zizi Kotwa, Gwede Mantashe, David Mabuza, Cedric Frolic, Nomvula Mukonyane, Simon Bekizwe Nkosi, David Mahlobo, and Thabang Makwetla, the men that you've just mentioned. And the question really is, if they get appointed, how is the ANC or even the president going to suggest and justify the appointment in cabinet when there hasn't been a report by the ANC's Integrity Commission clearing all of these individuals? I mean, if they take this body so seriously, then why are they not taking it into account when it flags certain members? What does this say if they're putting aside this list by the Integrity Commission? What does it say about how they take seriously this all-important body? Let's now speak to Dr. Somatota Fikeng, who's a political analyst, who's also waiting in anticipation, with anticipation for that all-important announcement. Dr. Fikeng, thank you so much for your time. Welcome to the Karima Brown Show.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and greetings to you and your listeners.
So the delay, the announcement around the delay, what we were told by the presidency is that he is consulting with the individual members that will be coming in and that he will announce in his new cabinet. But what we've also been running on Eyewitness News is that the president has been meeting with the alliance partners. They've been locked in meetings in Pretoria where he's been consulting them. This is quite different from how former President Jacob Zuma used to do things.
Certainly, there seemed to be a different approach, both in terms of those who are being released and those who are coming in, because increasingly in those years, there seemed to be no communication to explain to people why they were being taken off. And some of them had stories of hearing from the secretaries. So I hope that this marks a new beginning. One, the period of decency and dignified exit, as well as well-informed engagement, where president might say, these are the expectations and these are the reasons we've appointed you.
Doctor, we're already seeing some people speculating, and not just people outside of the presidency, but even people close to President Cyril Ramaphosa making a suggestion that we may see Pravin Gordhan returning to cabinet, and we may see David Mabuza there, we may see Gwede Mantashe there. I know the Mineral Council has come out and said, you know, they want Mr. Mantashe to stay as Minister of Mineral Resources because they want that stability and they seem to have enjoyed a good working relationship with him. But how difficult is it going to be for the president to justify appointing people that not only they have, you know, findings against them by the public protector, in this case Pravin Gordhan, with the public protector finding that he's violated the constitution? We know he's filed a review application, but that report hasn't been set aside as yet. And also these members that have been flagged by the Integrity Commission, do you think it's going to be difficult for the president to explain how he still managed to keep these people even after they've been flagged?
Well, I do think that the ANC list already signaled that you are not going to have angels brought into the list. Some of the people will have the questions or the cloud hanging on their heads. They might justify by saying these are mere allegations. They have not yet gone through the process. If the process finds them guilty, then their appointment will be reviewed. Mm. And some of the extraordinary circumstances, such as the one of Pravin Gordhan, similarly, something which says right now the matter is still under review, and should there be any major finding against the person, or then that position will be reviewed. So we can expect, in fact, that halfway through this period, you may have a cabinet reshuffle a year or two, precisely because the commissions of inquiry and many other processes are still ongoing. Mm. With the ANC Integrity Committee, they might just be able to say, we met, these are mere allegations, we have no proof as yet, because most of the time they do not have the forensic expertise to go around and investigate. They simply rely either on public reports or what commissions are reporting. In this case, you'll find some of the names which have been, facing some allegations within the cabinet itself. We can almost be certain, because there are other political considerations.
Mm. And, you know, Doctor, in fact, I just want to update the listeners now that the EWN reporter, Teto Mahlakwane, has just updated us that the motorcade has just arrived at the Union Buildings. That's the wing at the Union Buildings where this press briefing is going to take place. So that's an indication that perhaps this press briefing may take time any minute from now. I'm also watching very closely the screens in the studio, the SABC, and I'm watching what's happening there. And you could see that the officials in the presidency are going up and down and making preparations for that all-important announcement. So it could be happening any minute from now. But Dr. Fikeni, let's speak about the balancing act. How difficult is it going to be for President Cyril Ramaphosa to make that balancing act, to also have in mind the dynamics within the ANC, and not just bring in the people that have supported him ahead of Nasrec, but to also strike that unity element that has been spoken about for so many months after that 2017 Nasrec conference?
This is going to be one of the most difficult exercises, because you must ensure that there is no sign that you are purging those who stood against you if they have been performing. You must take the youth, the gender issue, the regional, the racial into account, the age groups. And on top of that, the issue of competence becomes very, very important. Who do you include? Who has been performing? And some of the senior members, by mere fact of their seniority, expect to be included, even though some of them have been around for a very long time, and they would have made the life easy for the president to say, I'm not returning. Mm. So all those things taken together, including those who are facing some allegations, are weighing very heavily on the president, and the alliance partnership expect some individuals to come there. But he could have been a lot more elegant about this, to say, alliance partners, I'm not going to take the entire executive of the South African Communist Party. I want some of you to go back and build the party whilst you are members of parliament. without being cabinet ministers. You do the same with Sanko. You do the same with the Youth League, with the Women's League. To say we have declined, a revival will need senior hands to go there. So in that way, they will walk away having an assignment.
And there's then this issue around the generational mix. There's the issue of gender parity. And these issues have dominated the ANC for some time since that Nasrec conference. We've seen what's been happening and the precedent that's been set by the various premiers. We saw in KwaZulu-Natal, Premier Sihle Zikalala, including more young people in his cabinet, also facing reaction and response that was quite negative from the IFP, in that, you know, some of the young people that he's appointed don't necessarily have the necessary experience to run departments like the Department of Education. Gauteng Premier David Makhura this morning also making that important announcement of his cabinet and including some young people as well. So there's this trend also in the provinces that more younger people are being considered. And I suppose this is something the president will have to deal with as well.
There is no doubt that he will have to include more younger people, because the critique is that your average ANC leadership, if you take the top six, for example, you almost have everybody who is over 60 years with few exceptions. Whereas when you look at the EFF, the DA, they do have younger members. Hence, in some instances, ANC has been seeing an erosion of its support amongst the young people, be it in the university, SRCs, or in other quarters. So they may have to include some of the people from the Fees Must Fall, for example. Don't be surprised if they feature some of the people from the ANC Youth League leadership. The likes of Richard Lamola are likely to feature in there.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Somato Tafikeni, political analyst. We'll also have a chat with you as soon as we know who is in and who is out. It's just after 8:30. Spokesperson Sizwe Pamela. Sizwe, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you holding there as we were taking some callers. What are you expecting from the president? But before you even answer that, how have the consultations been going this afternoon? We got information that the president was consulting with the alliance partners earlier on.
Indeed, the leadership of the Federation had to be excused during our CC to go and meet with the president. But these discussions have been ongoing since actually the last weekend. So we've been very happy with the level of transparency and consultation. But at the end of the day, we still do appreciate the fact that the president is the one who has to have the final words. And also, because we are clear that we are going to hold him accountable. We are clear that we are going to make sure that he understands that we didn't give him a blank check. So we have to give the president some room to actually make decisions. Because if you then fail to give the president that space for him to take these kinds of decisions without you interfering, then you are also responsible for whatever happens going forward. So we have explained to him that you are more concerned with the principles that should guide this decision-making process. Mm. As for the names, we think the president has to look for the best from that parliament and make sure that he brings people on board who are clear as to what is at stake.
But what are the deal breaker for COSATU? What are some of the people you definitely do not want on the list of President Cyril Ramaphosa's new cabinet?
Well, we don't want those people who have really taken the nation for a ride in the previous administration. I mean, you look at people who have had to be reprimanded by other chapter 9 institutions, law enforcement agencies, or the courts of this country. We just don't think that the alliance and the ANC can still afford that. We also say to the president, people should not have the sense of entitlement to say this is a reward, this is an opportunity to serve those who have served for the last 25 years. And we are not convinced that they still have the energy to really bring new ideas that can take the country forward.
So, do you then support calls? Because you're saying that people that have gotten these problematic findings against them by Chapter 9 institutions, do you then accept the call by some organizations, even like the EFF, that minister, the former public enterprises minister, Pravin Gordhan, must not be included in this cabinet given the damning findings against him by the public protector? Yes, he's filed a review application, but the thing is, the report hasn't been set aside as yet. So do you accept and concede that the president must not appoint Pravin Gordhan in his cabinet?
Well, the question of Pravin Gordhan, of course, we have made it very clear that we actually don't believe that actually the discussion of Aaron Pravin should come as if he's entitled to any cabinet position, even if you take out the ruling by the public protector. Of course, the president has to respect the Chapter 9 institutions. Of course, the president, if he wants to clean up the process, he need not be selective. If he looks at other people who are chastised by the public protector before, he then needs to apply the same standards. But having said that, as Kosatu, we are totally disappointed by the poor standards of this current public project. That office is deteriorating itself. So that makes it very difficult sometimes to really just give it a thumbs up without questioning its proficiency and professionalism. I mean, if you lose so many court cases, if you look at the Reserve Bank ruling, if you look at the APSA ruling, if you look at the Estina ruling, you start to get a sense that part of the process itself is deteriorating. But the president has to really weigh in all of these issues. He has to bring in some of the people, especially his legal advisors, to really scrutinize. And something that we have said this last week, to say, President, these courts are telling us that something is not right with that office. And you cannot just be blind as you take decisions going forward to the fact that office itself is deteriorating.
But then there's a complication here, Sizwe, because we have, as ordinary members of the public, we have a constitutional obligation to respect the findings of the public protector as binding until they are set aside by a court of law. So even if you have issues with the person in the public protector's office who's heading that office, the issue is, the report is out there. If you're challenging it, go review it in the courts. Let it be set aside. Let the courts also express their feelings about the public protector and the person who's holding that position, about whether or not he or she understands their, you know, constitutional obligations. Isn't that problematic, though, that already there are these calls for this report to not be considered even when it hasn't been set aside? And constitutionally, there's an obligation on our part, on everyone, to respect that report as binding until it's set aside by a court of law.
Now, which is why I was saying to you, actually, our call, the one that we're trying to make to the president, was to say, you do have legal advisors. You have to not just accept this based on the fact that there was a ruling against President Jacob Zuma. You also have to hand it over to a team of legal advisors. And if they feel there are grounds for you to actually take some of these outcomes to a court of law, then you do so. But we'll never want a situation to actually encourage the president to act unconstitutionally, as Kosatu. In fact, this the incumbent, we supported him almost a month ago when Minister Tito Mboweni and Minister Litha Zituba were actually attacking the public, because we were saying at the time that we just don't feel that this office should be undermined. But now the problem is that the deterioration is happening from inside. So, of course, it is a catch-22 situation, because we cannot also be blind to the fact in front of us that this is the first time someone, because remember when how hysterical we were when President Jacob Zuma was going to court and on a daily basis losing court cases. We all said that he was assaulting our constitution. So you are raising a similar point here to say he was part of the executive. We were all hysterical and we said, this man doesn't have a respect for the constitution that we have. So this particular office also, we need, as the facts are presented to us, to actually acknowledge the fact that things are not 100% there and something needs to be done. But all of that needs to be done, has to be done within the ambit of the law. And the president himself, he needs to always get legal advice before acting. We will never encourage the president to actually do anything unconstitutional.
Yeah, and just lastly, let's speak about COSATU's expectations then. I mean, you've raised issues around a moratorium on retrenchments of civil servants. You've raised issues around Treasury, saying that you don't have a problem necessarily with the Minister of Finance, but the Treasury and the policies that have been pushed by that department. What are some of the key things you expect the new administration to do in terms of workers' rights and making sure that, of course, your workers are going to be happy and we're not going to see the kind of retrenchments that we've seen in the private sector?
Well, firstly, we've made it very clear to the President when we mentioned that we need an empowered Department of Labor. When we say empowered, we need resources. That department is under-resourced. If you look at the problems that we have been experiencing on issues of health and safety, not just in the mining sector and private sector, but if you look at what is happening in the Department of Health and other government institutions, that is not acceptable. We need to strengthen that department. Let's look at the national minimum wage. The impact of the national minimum wage will not be felt if we've got almost 11,000 employers that COSATU has taken to the CMA to actually make sure that they are forced to comply with the national minimum wage. Let us look at the labor inspectors. Out of 15 million people employed in this country, we only have got 1,000 labor inspectors. So we said to the President, if you empower this department, it will help you with the process of actually employment creation, because the President had to deploy a team of ministers to KZN to engage with the freight industry as to why they are employing foreigners. Their responses were ridiculous. They were telling the minister that, no, we do employ foreigners because South African drivers are inexperienced. So those are the issues that the President needs to actually focus on. Make sure that if you say you are creating jobs, make sure that you create jobs for South Africans by having a department that has enough capacity to actually enforce the law. And at the end of the day, we as workers did not vote ANC for nostalgic reasons. We voted because the manifesto that was presented to us, that we collectively put together, actually was saying the state cannot outsource its developmental agenda. So we hope to see a government that is going to be hands-on in terms of that developmental agenda.
COSATU spokesperson Sizwe Pamla, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. It's now 12 minutes before 9 o'clock.